Bucks fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, Mr. Training Camp. How about that, Ira? Mr. Training Camp. And this is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. And all the fun, you know the name. Bill Curry Ford presents the podcast. Bill Curry Ford, C-U-R-R-I-E. BillCurryFord.com is the website. That's your first family of Ford in Tampa, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Get to their website right now, BillCurryFord.com. They've got some offers, Ira. You can even get a 2022 Ford. They're blowing them out. Ford Explorer. Leases are up. You haven't seen a lot of leases advertised in a while, but leases are back and big time at BillCurryFord.com. Some great offers. And of course, use their fantastic tool online to order your vehicle with concierge assistance. GM Sean Sullivan, he's all fired up to help Bucks fans. And just get to BillCurryFord.com. 61 years. Right there in Tampa, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, how are you, man? How you feeling? What's going on? We've got a lot of news. We've got action. What's up?
Stevie, I'm a little jealous. I'm a little jealous of you being up in Nashville. Lee and I stuck here in the great state of Florida. Look, I've been to Nashville a couple of times for Buck games. One thing I love about going to the Titans games is the press box. It's the best press box in the league. It's low. You got a great sight. It's not one of these new stadiums where they put you way up in the corner. It's fantastic. And it's a fun town, Steve. Great music town, Grand Ole Opry. You got downtown a famous bar called Tootsie's. The night is young. So I'm a little jealous, Steve. You're getting to see the Bucks scrimmage. And, Steve, based on your reporting and your very astute reporting, and I think Lee would agree with me, it was not a very good day for the Bucks in this particular scrimmage. Lee, is that your impression too?
Well, my impression was like yours. You know, Steve did a nice job of reporting. I didn't get that impression, but, you know, it's a controlled scrimmage. And
right.
It's not a game situation, let's put it that way. From what coaches tell us, they're more important than preseason games, but I'm not going to lose any sleep if Sean Murphy Bunting gets burnt by a rookie. I don't think it's going to cost him a Super Bowl yet. So it's great that they're doing this, but, you know, do I care? Not a whole lot, you know. So I don't know how to say it without insulting anyone, but it's like, okay, cool. When's regular season start?
It sounds, Steve, like Bowles didn't think the Bucks had much passion out there, you know, not much energy. And it's a little concerning. We'll see what happens tomorrow, and we'll certainly see what happens on Saturday. I thought the Bucks, you know, outplayed the Dolphins Saturday. I don't care about the final score. I thought the Bucks were the better team. I thought the two turnovers told the tale, set up two Miami scores. So I wasn't concerned after the Miami game. I'm not going to be concerned after the Tennessee game. But, Steve, there's some areas, and I'll start right off with you, Steve. I'm going to start right in the heart of things.
Well, Sage, you already started. You brought up something I think is very important. Now, already, you hit the home run out of the park, Ira, and I've got to ask you this philosophically speaking, and Lee as well, because I think it's critical. We're in the middle of the Tom Brady vacation. Here we are at a joint practice on the road trip, the whole thing, you know, nothing else to focus on. And they come out, and Todd Bowles says they look tired in practice. That's the word that he used, tired. And that, you know, everybody needs to get a good night's sleep and, you know, get after it the next day. I got to think, Ira, do you remember the Bucks ever looking tired with Tom Brady as the quarterback in a practice? That was the comment. I wonder if the effect of Tom Brady was felt, is being felt. And I'm not worried about Brady, Ira, at all when he comes back. Not a worry in the world about Tom Brady, but I'm worried about all the other guys that he lifts up. And maybe he's not able to lift them up when he's not here.
I don't know if tired is the word I would use, but last year, maybe exhausted would be a better word. I remember Arians got so fed up, and maybe I'm overstating that, but Arians grew well concerned that the second half of practices, they looked like they were dragging ass. And so halfway through practice, he would send them into the Glazer shed in the air conditioning to mimic a halftime.
Lee, I think Steve's onto something. I'll put it like this. In the grand scheme of things, a scrimmage against the Titans doesn't mean much. And I'll take it a step further. A scrimmage against the Titans without Brady means even less. Means even less to the other guys that are on that field. Now, I'm not saying that a guy is competing, you know, to be the sixth, seventh defensive back is thinking that Brady isn't here and it's going to affect my energy. But, Steve, he's the guy that lifts everybody's spirits up. It's part of the greatness. It's a big part of the greatness of Brady. It's those intangibles. It's another reason why nobody messes with Brady at one buck place. That's why he can get Antonio Brown on the team last 2 years ago when nobody wanted him. Brady's the only guy that wanted him. Brady got him. Part of it is Brady's intangibles. And, Steve, I don't think you're crazy here. Brady's absence has a way of, I think, causing shoulders to droop around the Bucs.
I don't know so much if it's intangibles. I just think it's his exacting standards. Gabbert doesn't have that image. An image isn't the word I'm looking for. He doesn't have that magnetism that Brady does.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Brady's like, he'll let you know if you're doing something wrong. You better be on your P's and Q's. I don't know if Gabbert has that same cachet, so to speak. But as far as being tired, Tuesday when I was out there for practice, I was told the reason why they went inside and practiced in the Glazer shed in shorts was because they expected, or at least the coaches, you want to call it, say Bowles, you could say Bowles, the coaches expected that with the travel that they would be worn out today. Well, to get around that, they decided, you know what, instead of practicing outside the heat, let's have them practice, short practice, in the air conditioning, without pads, and that should save their energy. Apparently it did not.
Steve, I got to pick up where I left off, and you got to weigh in on this. It's the number one concern. I mean, the number one concern isn't whether Tom Brady's going to be back. Yeah, he's going to be back. The number one concern for the 2022 Bucs, as we do this podcast, is the three guys in the middle of the offensive line. And Steve, from what I can see in practice, from what I can read about your scrimmage notes, I don't feel overly confident about the ability of this team to run the ball nearly as well as they did a year ago, especially no Gronkowski. Throw that in the mix. There are issues on that offensive line, and they are unresolved at the moment.
Yeah, they're unresolved. A couple of things to say. First, I want to go back and just say that, you know, the Titans are a fantastic football team. This is not just, oh, the Bucs aren't winning in practice. You know, they're not pounding the snot out of the Titans. Well, Titans were 12-5 last year and have had a winning record for a bunch of years in a row now, and they're a very talented team. So
they're very physical.
Yeah, very physical team. And so I wouldn't say the Bucs look great, but they didn't look terrible. And it's not a real game, like Lee said. And it's a damn good team on their turf. So nothing to worry about, Ira. But as far as the offensive line, the interior line, you know, in these one-on-one drills, the interior line did not fare well today. The tackles were perfect. I'm going to say put the P word on Wirfs and Donovan Smith. Absolutely perfect. But interior, it wasn't good. And even all of them, really. Shaq Mason even got bull rushed badly. Luke Goedeke, I talked to him after practice. And, you know, I asked him, he gave me some, you know, a bunch of cliches. He's really good at the cliches. And I said to him, I said, hey, Luke, man, you sound really disappointed in your pass blocking. And just in general, you just sound really down. And he basically finally broke away from the cliches and said, yeah, he wants everything to come faster and it's not. And he doesn't mean that he's behind, but he's got a real high standard for himself. And he's frustrated with his pass blocking. And Hainsey today just didn't look good in these drills. But I will say overall, in the one against one, you know, 11 on 11s, pass blocking held up pretty well. I will say that. So one-on-ones are not real football, and the way that they do it, I mean, it's simulated with the other guys on the line, even though it's a one-on-one drill. But like you said, Ira, it's not to a Super Bowl standard yet, and I don't know if there are any answers to that, but you know, Hainsey, Stinney, they don't look like great players.
Lee, I had Stinney with his job to lose. Maybe I was right, maybe I was wrong, a couple of months ago. That's the way I felt going into camp. And Lee, I think 3 weeks into camp, I don't think Stinney's done anything to secure that job.
That's fair. It's still early. It's still early. I'm not panicking. Maybe I'm a moron. Well, or maybe I'm more of a moron than people think. But I don't consider the interior of the line a number one issue with the Bucks.
Give me something more pressing.
Tom Brady. Period. End of sentence.
How so?
It's Tom Brady, man. Who would you rather have back there? Blaine Gabbert trying to figure out a line breaking down, or Tom Brady? Come on now.
Well, what's your concern with Tom Brady?
Okay, what's going on with Tom Brady?
Steve, I'm stunned that none of the national pundits have weighed in with what they want to call a definitive story about what's going on with Brady. I can't believe that nobody's cracked this case, Steve.
Sage, I think that there's a case to crack, but I'm saying there may not be a lot of information out there. I've talked to some people, and everybody swears, and it's genuine, I believe. I don't think it's a line of crap. The line that was told around the Bucks is that this really was planned in advance, but there is gray area as to when and how long, and yeah, it was planned, but you know, what that really means, it doesn't matter, because Tom Brady is the savior of the franchise. Nobody questions him and nobody's worried about him, and they shouldn't be. But like Lee said, we're one step away. It's fragile. It feels fragile anyway, even though we don't know what's going on either. It feels like if this is a distraction for Brady, or if this thing extends mysteriously, then what? Then it's messy as hell, and Blaine Gabbert is still Blaine Gabbert.
Lee, are you questioning Brady's commitment to this franchise at this point?
No. Crazy as it sounds, I stick by the assumption, and it's a guess, one of the carrots to lure him back to the Bucks was, Tom, you don't need to hold training camp. If you want to take a week and a half off or 2 weeks total, you let us know. Let's work it out during the summer. We'll take care of it.
You know, Steve, he might be hanging with George Clooney on the Amalfi Coast on a yacht with the kids and Giselle.
Paparazzi would have caught him.
Could very well be the case before the kids go back to school, Steve. I think at this point, to me, that sounds like the most logical scenario.
Well, it's been reported publicly from his wife saying in a European magazine that the kids are homeschooled. And his son, and it's from New York, where they don't go to school until after Labor Day. So, yeah, maybe he wants to spend more time with his son. But last year, his son came to training camp and apparently had a blast and was buddies with Leonard Fournette and couldn't wait to come back. So that part of it's a little odd in some ways. We just don't know, Ira. But the thing is, I agree with Lee that it was worked out in advance. But my concern is why? Why did he want to step away? That's the most so not Tom Brady that it's right. It makes it bizarre. So, yeah, it was worked out. But why would he not want to be here when he's Tom Brady and he knows how valuable his input is, and his input and his control in some ways, if you want to use that word, is what he craved in New England and didn't get. And now he's got it here and he's stepping away for a while. I don't know.
I think there's a couple of things involved with that. First is, you know, like I said earlier, Tom, please come back. Oh, I don't know, man. I don't have that Matt training camp in August in Florida. I don't know. You only need to stick around for 2 weeks, Tom. Oh, okay. That's a little better. Okay, what else you got for me? So I really believe that was part of it. I really do. And I can't say who, but someone who used to have the pulse of Tom Brady's camp, and the guy used to be pretty darn accurate with all his Brady reporting, right before Brady retired, I spoke with the guy, and this is when the rumors were going around he was going to retire. And I spoke with this guy at the Rams playoff game. And I was, at the time, I was shocked that Brady would give everything up with, you know, the Bucks being so loaded, et cetera, et cetera. And I told this guy, I said, that just blows me away. A guy that's this committed, this gung-ho, you know, he's got a ready-made team. It just blows me away that he would just give it all up. And this guy told me that's why he wants to give it up. He doesn't think he has any more left to give physically and mentally. So, you know, maybe, again, the carrot, you could take time off. Maybe he believes he needed that time off so he could mentally and physically get through a 17-plus game season.
I guess I'll have to talk about it with Brady himself, Steve, if I ever get to him before the damn season starts.
I got to say this real quick. One of your favorite subjects, I finally figured this out. One of your favorite subjects, you love this, is nothing.
Keep going.
You love Seinfeld so much that you named your dog after a Seinfeld character instead of Pat Mahomes. And
that's right.
Everybody I tell that to, like, he's no Chiefs fan. And what is Seinfeld about? You should know
it's
this.
It's about absolutely nothing.
And you're going bananas. It's like someone owes you $100,000 and they haven't given you the check. You're going wild because you want to hear Tom Brady speak. And what does he say? Nothing.
Nothing.
So you crave nothing.
First, more impressive is $500 back, $500 off from Florida's Elite Restoration. If you have that disaster in your home this time of year, flood, storm damage, they're giving our listeners and readers $500 off. Maybe that's $500 you can use toward your deductible if it's an insurance claim with Florida's Elite Restoration helping you get that money. Or maybe it's just $500 back on a cash deal that you fix yourself after a fire or whatever it might be at your home or business. Florida's Elite Restoration, Sage, they're giving you that free assessment at your property. And the big man, Josh Martin, Florida's Elite Restoration, he has all those years experience in the insurance industry, and he knows how to get you your money if that's what it calls for in a disaster at your home. Call them 24/7, floridaselite restoration.com. They'll come out, give you that free assessment. All you have to do is tell them Joe Bucks fan, Ira Kaufman, and if you move forward with them on an agreement, they're going to give you that discount or money back. How about that? You get a deal if you mention Ira.
They do a great job over there at Florida's Elite Restoration. Josh Martin's got a heck of a crew, and we all know a few people that have direct experience dealing with Florida's Elite Restoration. They can't say enough about the company. If you have a problem, you even think you might have a problem, that should be your first call, Florida's Elite Restoration. Hey, Lee, speaking of the Chiefs, and you pointed this out to me a few days ago, how about a few prayers for the great Lenny Dawson, Hall of Fame quarterback for the Chiefs, won 3 AFL titles, won a Super Bowl, so I guess he's in hospice care. That doesn't sound good.
No,
Stevie, I'm going to set you up on a platter here, Isbitz, and I don't like to do it, but I will. Steve, who the hell looked good today? Who looked good for the Bucks?
Ira, when you said platter, I thought you were delivering me some Big Storm Brewery wings at the tap room there. I got a disappointed. Hey, Sage, Big Storm Beer, that's the official beer of your podcast, Big Storm Beer. Now, Big Storm makes many whiskeys and liqueurs and things like that, and exciting news, probably by September 1st, they're going to be able to ship them to most states in the union and to our great listeners out there. So that's exciting changes at Big Storm that they're going to be able to ship them out and sell them. Right now, you can only get them in the tap rooms, and you'll be seeing a lot of that at joebucksfan.com. But Big Storm Brewery, Florida's best craft beer, Big Storm Beer, the Bromosa, their tangerine IPA, is in stores everywhere, and you can find everything you need to know about Big Storm at BigStormBrewery.com. Check out all the beers, the Wavemaker Amber Ale, the Palm Bender IPA, Big Storm Beer. That's the Sage's beer. Sage, all right, so this platter, who looked good? I got to explain something to our hardcore fans, Ira, who are looking for every nugget of Bucks coverage everywhere. And Lee knows very well, as do you, these joint practices, there's three things going on at once half the time. And there's no instant replay. There's no ability to, you know, hit the DVR and rewind and check it all out and study it. So you give your best shot, and you don't know everybody's assignment and penalties aren't necessarily called if somebody gets a jump on somebody and shouldn't and stuff. So nobody has the answers to the training camp puzzle. You just give it your best shot to see what's going on. As far as who looked good, I mostly focused on the defense, Ira. I was very impressed that the pass rush was getting through. The blitzes seemed to get through, well-timed by the Bucks. Devin White had a strong day, had an interception. It was a very easy interception, but he was sitting in zone coverage, and Ryan Tannehill served it right up to him. Kyle Trask, he came out and looked sharp, hit like five throws in a row. Now, it was a hurry-up session when I first saw him, so you know the energy and the zip was there, sort of built into that. But he did look good, did look in command, very confident until his final throw in that session, to which was errant out of bounds. You know, as far as Carl Nassib looked, I don't want to say out of shape, but he certainly looked slow and just sort of like overwhelmed to jump. First practice is a joint practice. That's a little tough duty when you haven't been playing for a while. But of course, we'll talk about his signing, Sage. I don't know where Kyle Rudolph is. That's a little bit surprising. The Bucks tackles look good. Donovan Smith looks, he just looks like a superhero out there in a lot of ways. Antoine Winfield's flying around, doing some good things. Looking exceptionally quick. Lavonte David was kind of quiet.
Steve, what did Devin White say to you in terms of something we discussed on the last podcast about keeping his quickness to the ball, speed to the ball, but still making it more controlled? Did he explain it to you, Steve?
Yeah, he got into it a little bit, you know, just sort of saying that, I mean, he'll still be flying in on the blitz and he has to figure out how to tone it down at the last second so quarterbacks don't sidestep him. And, you know, he'll work on it. That's what all he said. And, you know, we talked off the recorder about Matt Ryan and some of his other missed sacks, and he's not happy about those. But you can't practice that, as he explained to me. You can't practice that. It's just got to be a feel, and he's working on it. And as far as playing slower, he's just trying to figure out a balance, figure out that timing to time his explosion. And he's really focused on it in pass coverage, to try to not overrun things and overestimate, and just to stay a little more within himself and trust his speed to turn it on when he needs it on his keys, that it'll be there. But, you know, he's just trying to get better, and he knows that he just plays too fast and gets out of himself sometimes, and he's trying to sort it out.
Plays.
He told me it's interesting. He said, yeah, sometimes it's overrunning, but sometimes it's just breaking too soon, and you know, it's complicated. It's very complicated from play to play. And in pass coverage, you know, if he's reacting so quickly sometimes in zone, it knocks him out where he's got to read it a little better and trust his ability to, you know, to hit that gear a little bit later once he has a better sense.
Lee, you've made a great point about Devin White, and it's worth emphasizing. Lee, I just wrote a column. It's going to be out later this week. I talked about the draft where they got Wirfs and the 49ers could have had him if they hadn't moved back you know, one spot, and they took this guy, Javon Kinlaw, and Lee's been hurt, and he hasn't done much when he plays. Devin White is a little bit of a victim of his own performance, Lee. As you mentioned in that championship drive, the playoff drive, the guy was arguably the best Buccaneer on the field, on either side of the ball. So, Lee, you know, that's the standard that he set at a young age, for Buck fans, for you and I, and we want him to live up to it.
Don't necessarily think you're wrong. He may have been the best player on the field outside of Brady, of course. He had more of an impact than Gronk did, believe it or not. You know, play after play after play. Yeah, he probably was the best player out there. That's a very, I never really thought about that. He, maybe Fournette. Fournette was really good in the playoffs, but I was looking at Warren Sharp, some stuff that Warren Sharp had in his football preview. And the Bucs running game on third and fourth down last year, on 69% of their run attempts on third or fourth down, they converted first downs. 69%.
Wow.
That blows me away. And I'm just curious, when you hear that, what's the first thing that hit your mind? I'll see if you and I are thinking the same thing. When you hear that they converted 69% of their runs for first downs on third and fourth down, what comes to your mind?
Well, I thought you were going to say that 80% of the time they run behind Wirfs and Gronkowski. I thought you were going to say that. That may not necessarily be true. The first thing I would say is I'm assuming it's third and fourth and short, and it's not third and six. But I got to give the props to the O-line, Steve. That's the first thing I think of.
First thing I thought of was Leftwich. If you're having that kind of success on runs, you know, that's a money down, third and fourth down, that tells me he's able to read the defense, what's going to work, what's not going to work, who's blocking, who's not blocking as well, who might, what offensive lineman might expose the defense, what running back who's, you know, whose number is going to get called in a certain play. That tells me Leftwich is on the ball.
That's good, Lee, because, Steve, am I right in the tying touchdown against the Rams, the Fournette touchdown? Wasn't that fourth down, Steve? I think it was.
I got to double check. I think so.
That's a hell of a call when you got Tom Brady on the center, fourth down, the game on the line, and you give the ball to Fournette. That's a hell of a call.
Yeah, you walk in. Now, you just touched upon the second thing I thought of. How much of that success rate is Brady reading the defense, meaning you know he could check out at any time?
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, he's great on fourth down himself, Lee, when he keeps the ball.
Run up the middle, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sage, I didn't mention Akeem Hicks, who had a couple of two standout plays against the Titans. But more important, because, hey, it's just a practice, couple of plays, okay. More important, I talked to Shaq Barrett. I haven't written it up for the website, but I have Shaq on record, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but he's on record basically saying and explaining why Hicks is a better player than Ndamukong Suh, and why he's going to have more impact, because I just flat out asked Shaq to explain to the average fan what Hicks brings. And he talked about really that Hicks is just the total package and much faster than anybody really thought, you know, before his size at 6'4", 344. And Shaq is jacked up, man. He thinks that this is just, Hicks is just blowing him away and blowing a lot of other people away at one buck.
Lee, if he's healthy, you know, he's a very good player. Lee, I got to say this up front, and I know Buck fans, they love to take a pot shot once a guy leaves one Buck place. If you told me Hicks is going to be a better run defender than Sue, I'm going to have a problem believing that. I am. But if you say he's going to be more of a force on a pass rush, I got no problem with that. Lee, I think he's super motivated. Super motivated, Hicks. Mm-hmm. After playing with teams that got, you know, wiped out of playoff contention at Thanksgiving, Lee. I mean, those are facts. So you got to be self-motivated. I understand people say, well, you're getting well paid. You got to play hard. You're playing with the Bucks now. Everywhere you look, there's a heck of a player. It makes a difference, an attitude. So, you know, I think Hicks is, while he may be close to Sue as a run stuffer, I don't think he's going to match him necessarily, but it won't be a huge gap. But I think he is faster. Lee, he's quicker, and he's more of a problem on the pass rush for the opposition.
I don't disagree with you, Ira. And as far as Sue, I love Sue, so don't get me wrong. But I think it was very telling. And we've got some guys that comment a lot on JoeBucksFan.com. They're still begging the Bucks to bring back JPP and bring back Sue. And I think it was very, very telling. You know, I remember I asked Jason Light the night they drafted Logan Hall. Said, I guess this closes the book on Sue. And Light said, no, you know, you never know if there's an injury. Well, there was an injury. Cam Gill had surgery. And who did they go get? It wasn't JPP. It wasn't Sue. It was Carl Nassib. I think that the people that are hoping for Sue and or JPP, they're going to be very disappointed because I think those guys are done.
Carl Nassib, Ira, the Bucks signed him because Cam Gill, who was their number four pass rusher, essentially everybody moved up a notch this offseason, right? So we've got Tryon Soyinka starting. We've got Anthony Nelson as the number three. But Nelson was the number four last year, and he took 30% of the snaps. That was going to be Cam Gill's role, but he got the Liz Frank injury, surgery, same injury that Lavonte David and Antoine Winfield had last year. He goes in for the surgery now. And the Bucks signed Carl Nassib, who was on the street after a couple of years doing nothing with the Raiders, 29 years old, out of practice today. What do you think, Ira? The guy was the captain, voted captain by his teammates in 2019 of the Bucks.
Building a little bit of depth on the right side of that defense. They are, not to mention what Logan Hall can contribute as a rookie. And from the reports I'm hearing, he's got some nice pass rushing skills. Lee Nassib is a nice role player, and so is Nelson. I talked about Nelson on the last podcast. You know, Nassib, Lee, I don't want to think this way, but sometimes guys are out there on the free agent market. You say, well, why hasn't this guy been picked up? Well, in the case of J.C. Treader, Lee, and you can't tell me there's 32 better centers than J.C. Treader. I'm not buying that, Lee. But the fact is, he's the head of the union. Nobody's ever going to say that that's a factor in whether you're going to sign the guy or not, but it's out there, Lee. It's out there. And with Nassib, you know, with his orientation, it's not commonplace, at least to be open about it in the National Football League. Based on his merits, Lee, Paul Nassib should have signed with somebody by now. Is he a starter? Is he going to play 90% of the snaps? No. Lee, he hasn't proven that. But he's a nice role player. And between him and Nelson and Logan Hall and you know, trying Shirinka, Lee, all of a sudden, they got options over there. And Shaq Barrett on the other side, that's not bad, Lee. I can work with that.
Yeah, I read somewhere today, and I didn't get into the story. I just glanced at it. But I could have swore I read a story today or glanced at a story where Nassib said he was being real picky about where he was going to play.
No, I don't know about that, Lee. I mean, would you take it this far into late August? Would you?
I don't know what the guy's motivation was, so I can't speak to that. He is, at least my dealings with him, he's always been a goofball with me, so who knows if he was on the up and up saying that. You know, football teams, look at the Browns. They lost two centers already, and Treader's still out there, so maybe the guy is done.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe not, Steve. You're never going to get anybody to say it on the record.
Yeah, it looks kind of fishy on face value, but...
Hey, that's a bonus for the Bucks. If what you're saying, Ira, is that he wasn't signed because he's gay, but he can play, then hey, the Bucks lucked out and got some depth that was on the street that probably shouldn't have been. But we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what really is the deal, Ira. A couple of things from the practice today. It was closed to fans, just VIPs. You know, you see more like family and friends. Not too many fans there. Maybe 100 or so in that neighborhood. And the Titans actually, for some reason, I have no idea, but they said they allow the reporters to stand on the team sideline. So I'm like, wait a minute, I can stand anywhere? And they're like, well, yeah, you can stand anywhere, but you won't be able to see if you stand behind players. So I'm like, well, let me test this out. If I get close to if I get close to some of these guys, maybe they'll just like see what's this guy doing here and sort of step aside, you know, like you would if you're at a parade, right? So sure enough, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna try this out. So I'm standing behind the bench or, you know, the lineup of players, and I sort of like took a couple steps forward, and sure enough, couple of guys saw me and they like stepped to the side. And so there I am on the Titans sideline watching practice. Which was kind of interesting, you know, for a good stretch, for sure. The Bucks would never let me do such a thing, but that was kind of fun.
I'm glad Kevin Ross didn't mistake you for a Titans player. He might have tried to bully over, Isbeth.
Well, I did get hit in the foot by an errant Kyle Trask pass, but that was on me for sort of looking away and thinking it was going to be caught. Also, I will say, just for Lee's sake, that Mrs. Tannehill was there visiting practice, and... You know, she's definitely a Pro Bowler.
I think it was last week, out of the blue, Carrie Underwood and her girlfriends were out at some bar in downtown Nashville, and she liked the band, and she just jumped up on stage and started singing.
Man, she can't do that. Bette Midler was up there. You can't take the mic away from Bette. Can't do it.
You never know who Elizabeth is going to run into there. It might be Carrie Underwood, might be Tommy Lahren, who knows?
Steve, I know you're busy. You got plans for the evening, and God bless you.
I got no plans, Ira. I got no plans whatsoever. But it sounds fun, but I got no plans. Podcast alert, get to BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping today. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Sage, look, as far as the Bucks themselves here, we're sitting here, it's August 17th, August 18th. They're not going to play much on Saturday. Bowles was pushed today, no Julio Jones on Saturday. And Julio made a nice play today, broke a tackle, and, you know, whatever. Nice play in training camp, it's going to happen on both sides. So it's really not much. It's fun to talk about, but it doesn't mean that much. The energy was down. will you be concerned, Ira, if the Bucks, if Bowles says the energy isn't up tomorrow, or if they kind of look a little flat in the preseason game, even if it's not the starters? Does anything about this week really make you care very much, or will you just start to really dial in when it's that third preseason game, the final one in Indianapolis, when Bowles says the starters will play, Tom Brady will be back? Is that your next benchmark?
Steve, I can't stop thinking about a column I wrote a month ago. I said, "Welcome to Camp Tranquility." That was my first sentence, and my point was, you know, you look around the league and Deshaun Watson this and Baker Mayfield and distractions, and 49ers got to settle on a quarterback, and the Bucs didn't have any of that, Steve. And the next thing you know, their center goes down in the second practice. We don't even know if he's going to play a snap this year. We got the crazy Brady scenario. Nobody saw that coming. He got some niggling injuries that we don't think are too worrisome. The guys like Mike Evans, now maybe Keanu Neal, nothing overly serious. But and then you got the questions about the O-line. So, Steve, it's very different than a year ago with all 22 starters coming back. I got 9 or 10 new starters on this team, Lee. I mean, that's a huge number. 9 or 10 new starters? On a team that, you know, went fairly deep into the playoffs last year and won a division easily. That doesn't happen very often. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's apprehensive times for the Bucs, even if they look a little shaky in the second scrimmage against the Titans or don't play well Saturday. Lee, I'm not overly concerned with preseason performance. But, Lee, there are some concerns. There are some issues around this team suddenly, and they better be ready for Dallas. I'll say this, Lee. I don't think the Cowboys are all that they're cracked up to be. In fact, I don't think they're going to win the division. I think Philly's better than them. And, Lee, I want to go out like this, Lee. I want to send some congratulations to the family of Ken Riley, who's was in Lakeland. That family there, and Chuck Howley family, who they're on the brink of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They have to get voted on, Lee, in January by the full board. But the odds are great that they're going to pass muster and they're going to get gold jackets. Joe Klecko was a little bit of a surprise, Lee, but I'm happy for Riley and Howley. And you got to honor some of these guys that have been bypassed, and there's more to come. So I was happy to be part of that process on Tuesday.
Sage, of course, you're talking about being on the senior committee and whittling down the long, long, long list of senior candidates to get into the hall and then be voted on eventually here. But you're part of that key committee, and anybody can Google those old guys, figure out who they are. Hey, Ira, have you read, and we'll probably talk about it in the next podcast, but have you read the NFL.com feature on Todd Bowles?
I have not. Who wrote it? Judy Batista.
Judy Batista, when she came
to... Judy Batista, Taylor Biscotti, yeah!
I know she was down here, but that was the day that the big Miami Dolphin thing broke with Steve Ross, so she was busy with that. She must have got some time with Bowles that I didn't know about, Steve.
Yeah, she got some private time with Bowles. An extended feature came out today, so yeah, she was working on it for a while. And she actually quotes Bill Parcells. And I know Lee's written a couple of things talking about Bowles channeling Parcells, but she actually talked to Parcells about how he's so cerebral and blah, blah, blah. And Parcells calls Bowles one of his, quote, homeboys, which I thought was funny.
And Lee, of course, Judy got to know Bowles during his 4 years in New York. She got to know him. So it's not like she came in as a total stranger to Tampa. A couple of weeks ago, she had 4 years to deal with Bowles. Of course, she's based in New York. She goes to a lot of Jet and Giant games. So she did get to know Bowles. And you know what? I'm interested in reading it, Steve. I think there's a lot more to Bowles than meets the eye. I've told you guys this. I think he's a big music guy. I think he might be a singer. Get him in a karaoke bar. Steve, you might get him in Nashville tonight. Go Go do it, Steve. Go do it.
Ira, the things going on in this team hotel, I'll have to tell you when I get back. The things I've seen, Ira. I'm curious when curfew is, but we'll talk about that next time. Sage, Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. That's where you shop first for any vehicle. That's where you go for body work, service, to schedule an appointment. BillCurryFord.com. The Bromosa, that is the superstar, the all-pro at Big Storm Brewery. You got to try it. BigStormBrewery.com. And remember, Florida's Elite Restoration. Whenever you have that disaster in your home or business, that's the first phone call. You get the fire out. Next thing you do, I'm calling Florida's Elite Restoration. I'm getting them out here to assess what's going on so I don't get ripped off, and they're going to help me proceed. Floridaselite.com. Ira, I was going to tell you the food in the media room here in Tennessee, the Bucks have limited it to tap water and the occasional bottled water. And here in Tennessee, oh yeah, the Bucks do have a coffee maker. No milk, though, no cream, no half and half like the Sage likes.
Steve, I can't even get a tangerine Ira, out of the Buck media room. I got nothing.
Ira.
Nothing.
Here in the Tennessee media room, okay, first there's a gigantic jar of M&Ms. Help yourself, have as many as you want. Every kind of granola bar, Kind bar you can imagine. Then you've got all the endless mini Snickers and Milky Ways, Milky Way Darks, and Three Musketeers, endless supply. You've got maybe 27 drinks. I'm not joking. 27 drinks to choose from. I had about 4 bottles of Perrier during practice today. Very nice.
Whoa.
And just when I thought, and they had other things, and just when I thought it was done, in comes the nice lady with the sandwich cart. Vegan veggie wraps and turkey and Swiss sandwiches and other things. And then in comes the giant bowl of chips, maybe like 6 varieties. The fancy kind. Oh, Ira, what's going on in Tampa? What's going on?
Maybe I'm better off in Tampa because I got to watch my girlish figure, Lee. You know that. If the Bucks scrimmage in Nashville again next summer, you might find a couple of Bromosas, floating around over there. Because Big Storm, you know, they're relentless. They're ambitious. They want to be everywhere. And if they hit Nashville, it's going to be Katie bar the door, gentlemen.